A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 426. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about the Midwich Cuckoos. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
So yes, we are talking about this 2022 Sky One adaptation of John Wyndham's novel from 1957, and it's in seven episodes that are about 45 or 50 minutes each, somewhere in that range, and we are dealing with these strange events that happened in a sleepy British town that got to be, well, more sleepy when everyone fell asleep or went into a coma.
Very much so. And we need to get on and sort of talk a little bit about the Midwich children themselves. So last time we had the simultaneous deliveries of the babies from the Midwich mothers in episode 2 of the series. We then take a time jump 3 years forward to find that the Midwich children are growing extremely fast. They all look to be much bigger and older than three. I should perhaps mention that last time that tests taken during the pregnancies revealed that although the babies had their mother's DNA, they had no paternal DNA in their genetic material. So their human fathers, they didn't seem to have any material from them. This means that the children look like their mothers, but don't resemble the mother's partner. And we should say that the appearance of the children, this is a change from the novel. This is one of the differences, because in the novel and in the film version from 1960, there was these famous golden-haired and golden-eyed children, the Midwich children.
Yes, and these Midwich children, the result of the incident where every woman in the village became pregnant, these children do look, in some cases, a lot like their mothers.
Indeed, yes.
And how the mothers react to their children, and how the partners who are acting as fathers respond as well, they vary quite a lot. So some mothers really embrace motherhood and having a child and consider it like a gift, and it becomes very important to them and they're very loving and accepting. And others are much more reluctant and distrustful and sort of uncomfortable about the whole situation. And the British government starts a special school for these children with Sam Clyde supervising their teaching, and there is sort of this somewhat sinister government official, as you know, we often see in these sorts of dramas. That's Bernard Westcott, and he continues to have a special interest in the development and well-being of these children.
And we should say, with the development of their sort of special ward, the special school for the children, the British government, the Home Office, is sort of using the resources that were already present in Midwich to a certain extent. So you've mentioned that Sam Clyde is the sort of like supervising teacher. He happens to be a teacher. He also happens to be one of the, inverted commas, fathers of one of the children. And then Dr. Zellerby and DCI Haynes are also involved. They seem to be the supervising police officer and the psychologist for the family and the children, carrying out some of the investigations into what's going on. We're going to give a slight sort of hint that their investigations will reveal that maybe Midwich is not the only town, or not the first town or community to be affected by this form of, can I say, invasion, Brian?
Yes, it does have the feel of that. It's not a typical alien invasion story, but there are things in common with one.
And of course, the kids themselves, these Midwich kids, they are special. they have special abilities. They not only grow fast, but they seem to be able to control certain things in their environment. For instance, they can control their parents, even as you said last time, Brian, to the point that they stop their parents leaving the town of Midwich. This does become a very insular and sort of almost trapped in one place community.
Yes, absolutely. And the control they exert over their parents can be very significant. Even before they were born, it seemed that they prevented their mothers from getting abortions. And they also will at times punish some of them by making them hurt themselves and things of this nature. So there's some intense things going on there. We also learn that there is a sort of telepathic link between the children. And when one child learns something, all of them do. And they are able to communicate with one another even when they're not in the same place.
Very creepy stuff.
Indeed, yeah. And there's some visual effects where the children's eyes will glow yellow when they're using these powers, forcing someone to do something and so on, which is a nod to the novel and to the 1960 film Village of the Damned, which was an adaptation. So they do bring in the sort of strange yellow eyes in that way.
Nice touch.
And later on in the series, we get another jump of a few years with a recasting to somewhat older child actors.
Yes, I think they're meant to be 6 years old and they look to be about 10 or 12, I think, at that point with recasting.
I believe they were 5 and they were said to look and act like very gifted 10-year-olds.
Ah, right. Okay, that makes sense. And this, I think that might explain, one of the children seems to be wearing what I thought was a wig. And I think that's possibly so that they would look like the other child actor who's going to be playing them after the time jump, I think. But I should also mention, we haven't really talked about the child actors much, because obviously there's quite a number of them. And there is some, I think there's some excellent creepy child acting in this series, Brian.
Yes, there is. And I think they did a very good job at making the children recognizable when they get older and recast. We do have the strong sense as soon as we see one, it really looks like the ones we had seen before. And in some cases, they really do seem to have resemblance to the mothers.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the updating of the Midwich Cuckoos, this modern version. And we're going to get into a little bit of the politics of it. We know from interviews that John Wyndham spoke about his own observations of the role of women in 1950s Britain. And I'm going to say a sort of post-war societal expectation of pregnancy and motherhood, which, of course, you know, happened around the world, that after the terrible depletion caused by war, that there was expected to be a certain baby boom. Women were supposed to be, you know, getting pregnant and becoming mothers. And if we jump forward to 2022, could we say, Brian, that the discussion of women's rights, this sort of gender politics, their reproductive rights, has become even more of a hot topic than it probably was in the 1950s.
Yes, absolutely. And I think when you look at the novel, the allegory there is pretty clear. We have women who are becoming pregnant against their will, without any involvement through this situation they have there. And they are stopped from aborting pregnancies that they don't want. And they are effectively forced to bring up these children in a sort of very rural, small town, insular situation, which suits some of them well, but some of them are not choosing this type of life, and it is not something that they want. So it makes sense that Margaret Atwood is a big fan of Wyndham's book and read it when it came out, and she would go on to write The Handmaid's Tale, which came out as a novel in 1985, and the popular TV series adaptation of The Handmaid's Tale came out in 2017. So we have discussions of these things through fiction happening a lot over time. And that series in 2017, The Handmaid's Tale, was widely perceived as a critique of the American religious right and their views on the roles of women and the rights of women. Or the lack thereof in some cases.
Yes, absolutely. An important TV series, you know, based on, as you say, a very important book. I think Elizabeth Moss is in the TV series of The Handmaid's Tale. And of course, last time we hinted that some of the critics of this TV series, The Midwich Cuckoos, had not been terribly pleased with it. And one of the things that commentators picked up on was that they felt this series had a chance to go even further into the debate of women and reproductive rights, but might have fumbled it slightly. As you say, Brian, the Midwich women have been impregnated without their consent. They are then forced to continue the pregnancy again without consent, whether they like it or not. And even later on in the series, they then become, in a way, the children are outgrowing the mothers and they're sort of like abandoning the mothers in a way. And yet some of these issues didn't seem to get explored in a great deal of depth, perhaps?
Yes, it's all there, but they don't go into it and examine it as much as perhaps they could have.
And I know you picked up on the treatment of, you know, the young teenage women of Midwich who were affected by the event.
Yes, and there was a moment where they introduced the idea that there were, you know, 14-year-olds and, you know, people who were made to be pregnant by this strange phenomenon who were very young and presumably not able to deal with it very well. And we see that being introduced and we see some reaction to it and, you know, some justifiably horrified reaction to it. And then they don't come back to it. We don't see those teenagers again. We don't find out what happened with them and how they deal with the ongoing situation.
We don't get any of their stories at all, really, after that very dramatic moment in episode 2 when they're introduced and then seemingly forgotten.
That's right.
We also get an odd moment. We know that the children are controlling their parents to a certain degree, but we also get this moment when it seems that at least one of the Midwich children is controlling how their mother's appearance should be and seeming to object to an item of jewellery, a nose ring, which produces a very dramatic outcome. But again, that just seems to happen and then isn't really explored any further. This idea that there were certain standards of appearance that the children demanded of their parents.
Yeah, you do sort of have the idea that the children are in control and exert that control and have their own objectives. And it works well in story terms and it gives you something that works well dramatically and dips into horror ideas and that kind of thing. But again, that allegory is there and it isn't explored very much.
So maybe some missed opportunities.
Yeah. Now, the TV show went out in June 2022, and of course the creators of the show could not have known that the American Supreme Court would overturn Roe versus Wade just after those episodes dropped in June of 2022. But you do get some awkward timing there where you have the pronounced demand to really examine those ideas that they just aren't focusing on.
Yes. I mean, as you say, the timing was unfortunate. Nothing they could do about it, but it does seem unfortunate when we talk about it now. I should perhaps mention that if you read reviews and comments about the Midwich Cuckoos TV series, you will find that while some of the critics have said pretty much what we've said, that it didn't go far enough in its politics, others felt as ever that it went too far, and you'll probably be aware that there's a certain internet critical comment about, or at least an unhappiness with the depiction of multiracial families and a diverse cast and characters, which some commentators felt was inappropriate for a small British town. I have to say, I did not notice that myself at all when I was watching the show, but it does seem to annoy a certain subset of viewers.
Yeah, I think the casting and the multiracial families and so on, I thought that worked really well. It did in some cases help to highlight the fact that the children looked like their mothers and not like their fathers, but I thought it made things more interesting, and I think it does reflect how society looks now. And if it were set when the book came out in 1957, that would be one thing, but it wasn't. It was set in the present day. So I think that actually worked well.
Interesting stuff.
I think it's time to get into our own thoughts and ideas about this more than we already have. So, Eamon, what did you like about The Midwich Cuckoos?
There's an awful lot to like about The Midwich Cuckoos. It's a beautiful looking show. Sky TV, we know, have got the budgets for high production values. I'm going to say the sets, the locations, the costumes, the limited use of special effects. There aren't that many special effects, but the ones they use are great. I think it looks and it sounds great, Brian.
Yes, it does work very well in that way. I'll also say that I like the performances in this a lot. You have Keeley Hawes in quite a central role there, and she was great. I enjoyed her performance a lot, and I think the others were good too. I enjoyed all of the performances, and I liked the way that it gave us the very different perspectives and places that the mothers were and the different characters were in this situation, and as time went on.
Yes, the cast are great. Keeley Hawes, always watchable. Samuel West makes a suitably sinister government official. I'd say the child actors are great as well. Lots of really good creepy child acting in this show from both sets of the Midwich children. Yeah, I can't fault really the cast or the direction at all.
Yeah, there is a plot line where one of the children sort of breaks away and wants to do different things than the others, has sort of a different position there. And that was really well performed too. You know, it's a fair bit to ask from a young actor, and that was well done.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. I'm going to mention in our pluses column that I really love the music by Hannah Peel, combined with a sort of animated opening title sequence and her weird, spooky version of this cuckoo, cuckoo rhyme. I like that. I thought the music was great. And I've actually listened to the track Cuckoo by Hannah Peel on my music platform. So yeah, that is very good.
Yes. Some good things there. I think it dramatically and in sort of the story respect and the sci-fi with a bit of horror, I thought, from that perspective, I thought the writing worked quite well in this too.
I suppose, and I'm leaning slightly into our negatives here, the only problem I had with the writing was what we've previously discussed, that it didn't really lean in hard enough to discussing reproductive rights and the awful things that have been done to these women and the plight that they find themselves in. It's there, but they don't seem to go hard enough on that, I thought, in this series, Brian.
Yes, and that is the big thing here. It does seem to be very much done from the perspective of women, from the perspective of the mothers and of Dr. Zellaby and so on. And I think in that sense, it was done quite well. There was a lot to like in how they do things, but you're absolutely right. The big allegory there is just sort of left there in the background as a little piece of things where it could have been and should have been showcased to be a much bigger part of things, and they just don't explore that very much.
Yeah, it's a shame. I mean, obviously, when they were producing this series in early 2021, they wouldn't have known about the unfortunate timing that it would come out in the same month as Roe versus Wade was overturned. But even so, it does seem to be that they sort of, in some places, shied away from leaning in further to explore, for instance, what happened to the teenage moms, or some of the stuff about, you know, women's appearances being dictated by the children. It gets mentioned for a moment, a dramatic moment, and then maybe they didn't have room to fit all that in.
Yeah, they knew what John Wyndham's allegory was. They knew what the point of the book was and the history of it. They knew that that was in there and chose not to highlight it, which was unfortunate. To elaborate on the thing with the teenage mothers, the sequence they had in the show, which was very good, was a discussion where the women and the mothers and their partners are being told this is the situation, and people became pregnant with no explanation, and you have people arguing, no, this can't be, it must just be coincidence, and others saying, no, it really couldn't have happened the normal way. And there's this back and forth between these adults, and then they bring in the children. You know, these girls who, some of them seem to be about 14, and it's clear the same thing has happened to them. And, you know, a silence falls over everyone else when they see this. And that moment was done really well. And then they just don't, you know, they don't come back to those teenage mothers at all. And they have very few moments highlighting these sorts of things and highlighting that allegory, and that was unfortunate.
Okay, with a show like this based on an extremely well-known novel that's been previously adapted, viewers will possibly have read the book, they might have seen earlier versions, they might have heard it on the radio. It's hard not to know what's happening in The Midwich Cuckoos. Do the characters, the adult characters, take a long time to figure out what's going on in this series, Brian? Or do they know earlier, but they're having to sort of keep quiet about it because of the children?
I think a lot of it was that they were keeping quiet because of the children. But I didn't feel there was much problem with the ticking too long. And what they were setting up was that some of the mothers were absolutely taken and 100% on board with the children, no matter what they do. And, you know, the sort of idea of the mother who is completely dedicated to her child regardless of anything else in the situation. You had some people who were like that, presumably because of the control of the children, and others who were very uncomfortable with it, and that was sort of what they were building up. So I felt that worked really well.
Okay. It's 7 episodes, nearly 7 hours long. Could it have been an episode shorter for you?
I did not find it too long. One episode shorter would have been okay, but I thought it was okay in terms of pacing and how the plot unfolds.
Okay. I mean, very regular listeners will know that I usually like things to be shorter, so this one episode less would have done me, but it's been a while since I've said that, I think.
Yes. No, that's fair. There are different opinions on that. I thought it worked well from that perspective, and I did enjoy the show a lot.
Okay, it sounds like we're moving towards our recommendations. Anything to add before we get there, Brian?
I think we should go to our recommendations.
Okay, shall I kick us off?
Yes, go ahead.
Actually, I enjoyed watching The Midwich Cook. The first time it came on last year, I didn't actually make it through the series, but watching the whole thing this time, I actually found I really warmed to it. I think it's very well done, great looking production. I'm a soft old liberal, and I would have liked them to have leaned into the politics a bit more and give us a British version of The Handmaid's Tale, but no matter, I'm going to say it's so easy to watch over here in Region 2 that I'm going to recommend The Midwich Cuckoos. What about yourself, Brian?
Quite similarly, I am going to recommend this. I think it was really well done and quite compelling. I do think it's unfortunate that they didn't showcase the allegory as much as they could have, and they didn't make it as much about women's rights. But a lot of those things are there, and if you watch it, you know, you can see that lurking in the background. So I would recommend, you know ahead of time that it doesn't showcase those issues and look for them to shine through because of Wyndham's writing.
Great stuff. If you watched it last year, or if you watch it as a result of listening to our review, please get in touch and tell us what you think.
Absolutely. So, in summary, the Midwich Cuckoos introduced us to this quiet village of Midwich where there is a strange incident where everyone in the village falls unconscious at the same time and remains that way for some time. And if people try to enter during this period, they fall unconscious as well. And by the next day, everyone was back up and feeling fine, but the women of childbearing age all found themselves suddenly pregnant, and the children are born at exactly the same time, and we discover that these children are quite different from normal children and exert an extreme amount of control over their parents and have this very strong connection as a group. And we move forward towards this strange conclusion for what will happen with these children.
Nicely summarized. Please drop by the Facebook or the Twitter and let us know what you think of the Midwich Cuckoos.
Absolutely.
And please come back and join us next time. We are in the 1970s on ITV in 1976, and a show that's going to be one of those, I think, a little theme that we picked up of children in some form of haunted house. We are looking at a series called Nobody's House, which I haven't watched yet, but I'm looking forward to getting into next time.
Yes, that should be interesting. Always fun to do a haunted house show. So until next time, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com. Even the ones that aren't in the podcast feed anymore, they're all there. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. We also have a Twitter feed, so if you look for @BritInvadersPod, you can find us on Twitter. And please join in on some of the conversations in either of those places.
Please do. And also join in the conversation with the Voice of Geeks at VogNetwork.com, where you'll find British Invaders as one of the shows there. There's also gaming content and lots of other geeky related stuff at the Voice of Geeks, VogNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us. Until next time, Eamon in England saying, cuckoo, cuckoo.